Hello, everybody. This is Tommy from the Tommy, Hector and Arita podcast, and we want you to know that we're launching a bonus episode every Monday from April the 12th. This means that while the Thursday episode remains free, the bonus episode will be subscriber only, exclusively on Acast Plus. And to find out how to subscribe for this bonus episode, head to the website thlpod.com, click on the tier you want to sign up to, and start your Mondays off with a laugh.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and you're all very welcome to the Tommy, Hector and Larita podcast, which this week is going to be called Benfica.
Yes,
just
good.
Get it done,
Benfica. Let's get it out of the way.
And it's slightly awkward with people sending things to the house. Because you don't
awkward?
Want to be encouraging stuff. But something beautiful arrived last week. It's a photograph of three sheep in a field in Meath, which I know doesn't sound phenomenally exciting, but it's fantastic.
We'll take a picture of it and we'll share it out.
Flip it around there. And it's by a lady called Caroline Quinn, who does fine art photography. I think she's from Bective. Is that what say there, Hector?
Where's that?
But it's...
Yes.
But it's Bective in Meath.
Caroline Quinn.
Bective is a beautiful part of the world near Robinstown, and it's about 10 miles outside Navan by the river.
It's a beautiful,
Isn't that lovely?
Picture,
will we put
yeah.
this in the hen house? Yes.
Yes, hang it somewhere.
Superb. Yeah.
So we've had a big adventure this week.
Well, that's it. I mean,
so I start with my adventure.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you get up to for the week? Normally, we don't chit chat.
Well, I got down to something more.
Why don't we ask each other? What were you at for the week?
So I'll
you kick it off there, Tommy.
Friday night, and you both know this now, so I'm not telling you anything new. Friday night, about 11:30. Such an old person thing to do. I fell all the way down the stairs, head over heels. I had a glass of whiskey and a book in my hands, so when I slipped, I couldn't grab onto the banister, and I just was gone. And I've busted my leg and my chest and my neck. And my voice is kind of sensitive, isn't it?
Why is your voice like that?
I've hurt myself into sensitivity.
You have. You've dented your vocal cord.
Yeah, so that's happened to me.
Can we have a little reconstruction of this? Because
yeah.
I'd like to know the last...
I wasn't drunk, just in case that's on your head. I was not drunk.
How many glasses of whiskey did you have?
I'd had one, but I had a full one in my hand.
A full, tremendous
and
glass.
Did you spill
in
it?
My hand.
Did you spill it?
The first thing I did was spill it.
Oh, Jesus. You should have opened your mouth to see if anything got
it. They say leading up to that, they say an awful lot of accidents in a car happen in the 2 to 3 minutes when you're nearly home because you think your brain starts
switches
relaxing.
Off.
So let's can we
exactly
reconstruct this for Delhi crime?
Exactly what happened. We have antlers hanging over the front door. God knows where they came from. But I, in order to kind of balance out the karma of the antlers, I thrown an old Tibetan scarf that I got off a lama who lives above in Champaling in Cavan. he's the second or third in humility to the actual Dalai Lama. Like he's one of the boss men. But they've been fled out of Tibet, you know that. So they went traipsing all over
they
the
were
world.
Behow Tibet.
Behow of it.
And they went to Cavan.
And they went to Scotland first and then anyway.
Cavan.
And then ended up in Champaling. Now Champaling I don't think is the Cavan name for the area for the parish. I don't think
Champaling.
Champaling, yeah. That's the Tibetan name for the, that part of Kavan where they're at.
Okay.
So he gave me this white scarf. You know, the Dalai Lama is always throwing white scarves around people as a kind of a blessing, you know. You've probably been there, Hector, on your...
I've never met the Dalai himself. I've often got close... No, we were going to go to the sacred city where the Dalai Lama is. But we never... I was only in the Himalayas, the sacred areas of Kathmandu.
So you didn't get a white scarf?
I didn't get... I wasn't in Champalampa either.
So, anyway, so I had thrown this Tibetan blessing scarf on the antlers just to kind of say, look, if anything bad happened in the getting of these antlers, let this scarf redress that.
That's very thoughtful.
And then we balance things off.
Very thoughtful.
Now... It's coming up to Easter, so my wife decided to throw up these a kind of a Easter eggs woven into a kind of a thing. What do you make baskets out of?
Reeds.
Yes.
Rushes.
So rushes.
Straw. Yeah.
Straw, rushes, reeds in a kind of a shape with Easter eggs bet into it. And she hung that on the antlers as well. But I'd never seen it before. So what was happening? I was coming down the steps and the antlers is high up in the wall. And I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, I was, couldn't make head nor tail out of it. And I was wearing socks and carrying whiskey and had a book in my hand, a book about God.
Oh.
And then what I did is I was wearing socks and I missed the, I came down on the curve. Jesus. And I was gone.
Jesus,
and
Tommy.
I was gone all the way
and
down.
You went head first. Like you went forward. Like you were going forward, obviously.
Yeah. I fell all the way off from the second step. And it's a curved stairs as well.
Yeah.
So I was kind of.
You went round the bend.
And I was delivered then out into the floor like a helpless, like a baba, roaring at me. And not crying, roaring.
Where was everybody?
Was there pandemonium in the house?
No, Yvonne panicked.
What were you doing? Oh, my leg!
So we
had to mind each other. Right, I had to talk her out of the pandemonium, and she to.
Did you ring the doctor? Did you call the ambulance?
Ease me into pain relief. But so I said, give me. I was kind of cranky. So I was,
give me some Calpol.
No, I said. Who put that fucking thing up in the antlers? And I said, give me ice and pain relief.
Ibuprofen now.
So, so it's basically from just below the kneecap up to the top of my thigh.
But you broke nothing.
I broke nothing, but it's muscle has come off, bone or tendons are stretched or something like
Tommy,
that.
You were very lucky.
What about
lucky?
The ribs?
And I got the ribs are done in as well, yeah.
You're very, very lucky.
But the ribs wasn't from being hit. The ribs were from some kind of weird stretch that I did in the fall.
Like it's a big stairs.
It is a big stairs, yeah.
The moment...
And you didn't cut your head, hit your head, knock your... You didn't get...
No, I was falling. I was just focused entirely on the whiskey in the glass.
You're lucky the glass didn't split and cut
and,
you in
and
the
went to my neck.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Drama. Of course, I think that was the worst one.
That was my drama over the week. So I'm limping.
So what happened then, like?
Well, then... I just very difficult night Friday night, and then seen by the doctor on Saturday. Over to John Butler's sports physio on the Saturday for two dips. John works with a lot of jockeys, so two dips into the freezing baths. Bit of ultrasound work. Just normal old shite, you know. But I'll be limping now for a while. I'll get a job in
and
the car park.
And I wouldn't mind, but it was only at the weekend you decided you were going to do an ultramarathon. You sprung that one on us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the week before, you were saying, oh, I'm never doing any exercise.
Welcome into the land of relaxed muscles. I'm never getting into a gym life
talk
again.
Talk about roundabout Robin.
And what, were you going to bring us with you, like? Were you going to let us know to get ready for it?
Sorry, excuse me.
This is the Saturday night again.
That's what you get now for...
Let me tell you this now, right.
Double-crossing us.
Right,
I'll do a marathon.
If an old person asks you to help them across the road, what do you say?
Yes, I'll bring you across.
Okay, so if a blind lady says, will you help me run from Yall to Galway, what do you say? Say yes, of course I will. That's exactly what happened.
Okay, well, I suppose.
Well, he won't
when
be,
you put it like that.
Well, he won't be going with the dodgy tie.
No. So that was my few days. Were you traipsing again?
I was traipsing. I was traipsing. I have to say hello to a painter. One second, keep no. You go first, Loretta.
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, after St. Patrick's Day, I just.
Well, you got the shout out from the president.
Ah, for now, God's sake!
Did your world go upside down?
You had to go and fall down the feckin' stairs, didn't you, Tommy, on some Friday and ruin it all? Like,
Did your world turn upside down when that happened?
Well, I wasn't actually even watching it. I was in the car, and the next thing I got like phone calls and text messages, and oh my God! And I was like, what the? So my brother rang me, and he said, you're after getting a mention by the man himself. And I says, what do you mean a mention? I thought he was going to go through the Blewitts and the, you know, the family connection, whatever. And he was like, no, he mentioned you specifically. And I was like, what? In what context? And obviously I watched it back and it was, you know, I mean, that's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It's amazing. Was it emotional for you to hear it?
Very, yeah. It was actually, yeah. I got a bit teary when I heard it, like, because it, you know, and I think another thing that was nice for me on that happening is that, you know, you'd be kind of talking, oh, I'm related to the president, oh, I know him, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But, you know, people would be like, oh, yeah, right, like you hardly know him, you know, who knows the president? And then the fact that he just shouted out my
unprompted.
Name.
Unprompted.
Unprompted and like,
my
you know,
cousin,
just.
Cousin,
yeah.
Loretta.
Yeah.
So my, doing great
and then,
work.
And then poor Joe obviously fell up the stairs on the plane on Thursday. And, you know, it was a bit of a.
I tell you one
so
thing.
So it was a day for. It was a week for stairs.
It was. I tell you one thing. It's easy enough to fall fucking downstairs, but when a fucker can fall upstairs,
that's some going.
That's living. That's living.
The shout out went global.
Yeah, it was class. Like, but. Isn't I don't it? Know, like, it's brilliant. You know, if you knew it was actually coming, it wouldn't have been as exciting, obviously.
But, yeah, Micheál Martin was above in the corner.
He was
on that
nodding
video
away,
call.
Like, as if he knew what
as
was going on.
As if he knew Loretta. Yeah. Well, he better be listening to the podcast.
Well, he better. He'll have to start getting to know me now. Be like, hey, when he comes in to knock.
I thought Joe was going to say, my cousin Loretta does a podcast. Well, Hector, Tommy. keeping everybody
she's
in
doing
good spirits for all that during lockdown. I don't listen to myself. It's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, he could have weeded it out of it. She's doing Trojan work.
Don't
with
forget
her podcast.
Now, lads, next year, with God's help, the Tommy doesn't fall down any more stairs. We'll be over there. Next year.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that
for
in hotels.
St. Patrick's Day.
Tommy, can I, when you've seen the stairs again, have you gone back to the scene of the crime? Have you cordoned it off? Did you do fingerprints? Have the crime scene been in?
I tell you, I'm going to have words with that fucking, them rushes.
That you haven't
and
let
the antlers.
When they come off the fucking wall, yeah.
And the antlers.
The words had. But the funny thing was, and so there I was roared and screaming and half an hour later I'd calmed down and I knocked on my daughter's door. She's 14. And I said, I'm all right, by the way. And she says, oh, I thought it was the dog.
Yeah.
But you're weak now, Hector. You've been traipsing.
I was traipsing around the country. Quick synopsis, all over the country, down to Cork, Fermoy, and then down into Cork, and then over into Clonakilty, and then over into Crosshaven, and then across into Waterford, and then up into Carlow, up into Mullingar, and back into Galway.
Good farmland.
I was up in Carlow, and I was driving through this
Scallion country.
Scallions?
Mad for scallions.
Where?
Carlow.
All over.
Oh, scallion capital of the world.
Yeah. There'll be fellas coming over now from Africa, India, South America, looking for the secret of good scallions.
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 They have scallions on everything in Carlow. Scallions in the middle of the mashed potato.
I love scallions. They're like gay onions.
What does that even mean?
Do you like a bit of scallion in your
they're fancy
sandwich?
Onions.
They're just beautiful and they're lovely. They're light and they're kind of... But
there's
no sandwich in the world that isn't better off when the scallion's in it.
The green bit or the white bit?
The green bit is just for flirting with you. Like, sending it like a dick pic.
I just chop it down.
But it's the white bit.
A dick pic.
The white bit. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, onions like would be harsh.
Just take off the whiskers at the end. Or harsh, yes.
But a scallion.
Yes.
Like a little lift.
Just throw it in a little bit of tuna and sweet corn. Lovely.
Oh, it's like a little finger rubbing off your sphincter as opposed to getting the fished. It's lovely.
But they're not nice after about 6 days. If you don't eat the scallions fresh, they get wizzendy. You ever seen
wizzendy?
Wizzendy scallions.
So it'd be like a Mickey you'd see in a psychiatric hospital.
Why do they look different?
We come up the motorway and we turned off in Bagnallstown and we crossed over the River Barrow and I went to a place called Garry Hill to meet a girl from Poland called Ava and a lad from Dublin called Owen and he's a baker. He's a talented guy and they live in the back of this big estate where they're renting a real sort of cool farmhouse property and they were sitting together a couple of years ago and they said, what are we going to do? And they started rearing snails.
On
Sunday afternoon, I walked in to a snail farm with 475,000 snails in a shed.
The lads with the backs.
And they were all hermaphrodites, by the way. Their
say that word again.
Say that, sorry?
They're hermaphrodites.
Oh, good.
They're hermaphrodites. Snails. Who are? Snails are snails fluid in their binary. They're either male or female, depending on the day.
Yeah.
They lie in on top of each other. They shoot whoever decides that they're ready for a bit of romping when they're in their love season. They shoot a white arrow out of their side, like Cupid, into the side of the male or female. A white arrow comes
I thought
out.
They could have their own. No. I thought they were asexual. I thought they had their own. I thought they had produced their own themselves. I thought they got themselves pregnant.
They gave birth to themselves.
Yeah.
No. They're hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites. They're hermaphrodites.
They can either be male or female depending on the day, and one of them shoots this white arrow to the side of the and then they all join in and they all lie in on top of each other. Thousands of them. And they all
pagans.
Pagan snails.
Are these the lads with the little shells?
These are the lads that are, when you lift up in your garden, they're Irish snails, the best snails in the world, that are in your drain pipe, that are under the wheel of the car, that are in your garden.
And what do they use the snails for?
They ship them off around the world where snails are a delicacy. The French can't get enough of them. The Italians love them. They love them in Dubai. They love them in the United Arab Emirates. They love them in Japan. They crave the Irish snail.
And was it a bit disgusting seeing over 400,000 of them?
He has
it all a special room when it's all moist and the heat is in there. It was like walking into an orgy of snails.
Were they in little boxes or?
They were all lying in on top of each other. Thousands and thousands.
How could you feed them? Or what did they
They feed them on the little.
Would you stand on them?
No. They were all up in there, all up in a whole sort of a thing, a wooden thing. And then they take the eggs every 3 days and then they rear them in little boxes and then they bring them down to the. During the summer, they're out in the open air. And an amazing story from a Polish girl and Owen, and they're having a baby soon. And then they said, we were just about to leave. And didn't they say, you stay for some lunch?
Oh no, I'd say no to that, thanks. No thanks.
And what could we say? What could we say?
Well, there's two words come to mind.
Yeah.
One is yes and one is no.
We turned and we were all packing up and we were like, should we may as well then?
Oh.
And Gaelic L'Escargot is the name of the company. L'Escargot, as the French love them.
Yeah.
So we sat outside in the sunshine and...
It'd be like having a soft Mickey in your mouth.
Can
you imagine?
It's worse than like having a raw egg in your mouth. Never mind a soft Mickey.
No, but you're chewing on something, and it's not.
Stop it.
So fair play to Owen. He's an ex-chef and a baker, so I could smell garlic, right? I knew there was garlic.
Well, that's always good.
And parsley, and we're all sitting outside going, why did we stay for this? Why did we stay? So there was a load of lovely sourdough bread came out.
Good,
so there was
good,
a base. Sense, so we were going to smother them. So out comes this bowl of snails.
Soft Mickeys.
In garlic sauce and parsley.
I go, what the fuck they're in? I'm not eating it.
And we all had the sourdough in there. I know she got a big massive spoon and she started dolloping them out on top of it. And on each spoon there must have been 40 or 50 snails. And it was dripping down on top of the bread. And I'm looking at Roscoe and he's looking at me. And we're going, okay, we better do this.
I get sick.
So come here, and you're not even filming this for the show?
No.
Jeez, Mary and Joseph. Go on anyway, so you're just doing it for...
So we just said we show face. It's all about showing face. So up it goes to the mouth and straight in. It's very chewy. It's when you look at the picture of them, they don't look, they're black and they're just little wriggly little things and they're just chewy and chewy. There was a great taste of garlic. And you know what? After a while, I was so hungry that we didn't have lunch. I started mowing into them. Roscoe went for seconds and they weren't as bad as we thought.
See, something like that, you can just swallow them. You don't have to chew them.
No, but this is like a muscle. You had to chew this.
I just swallowed it.
And I said to your man, if I was out in the middle of the forest and I had to survive and I was doing bushcraft and it was 6 days with no food or water and I found a load of snails, would I survive? He said, Hector, one of the great sources of protein, the Irish snail. So I am going to look at snails in a whole new light.
What about an earthworm? Could you fire them on the pan?
Yeah, you could.
And did they take them out of the shells?
Oh, they're out of the shells, but they're there. They just look like little mussels. So that's what I had on Sunday afternoon for me lunch. L'escargot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Will we close our eyes?
No. So we had flown in from Moscow.
Who's we?
We and the boys, me and Evan. We were in Moscow and we're taking a 7-hour flight into Siberia.
Yeah.
Crossing 5 time zones.
Yes.
And it was middle of winter. We got to this city called Tomsk. And from Tomsk, we filmed there for a day or two. It's just freezing cold and permafrost. And we wanted to go to Krasnoyarsk and onto Krasnodar, where I had seen the Connacht rugby team about 2 years before that, playing one of the, I don't know how it happened, but they were playing one of the rugby games against a team from Siberia in the European Challenge Cup.
Was it Kazakhstan or something?
It was Siberia, and yeah, it was in Krasnoyarsk. Or Krasnodar, Krasnoyarsk. And there was a picture of Bundiaki and all the boys in the dugout with hot water bottles and blankets and sleeping bags and everything, and they got stranded there for an extra couple of days.
I remember that, John.
So we got to that city. And we filmed there. We went to that rugby team and the boys, we met the captain of that rugby team we were talking about when Connacht came to town. But after 2 days in that town, we knew we were going to get the Trans-Siberian Express and we were going to be on a 42-hour train journey.
Love that.
42 hours. And the train was coming in. It had left Moscow 5 days before that. It was coming into the station at 1 o'clock in the morning and we would be on it then non-stop for 42 hours.
Oh my God, so that would be my worst nightmare.
We're trying to fucking plan what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink. But one of the stories we did before it was we were going to meet this Russian oligarch, Siberian oligarch, who had...
Were they helping to oligarch?
Yeah, okay.
Did they sell
if you
fish?
Please, yes.
Oligarch.
Oh, sorry. So we were meeting this Russian oligarch.
Oligarch sounds like a fella from the Kerry Gaeltacht.
So we were I've been saying oligarch for all my life.
Please don't ever say that again. Okay. Don't say it to people who might know what the word is.
Oligarch. Oligarch, oligarch. It's not really easy.
We were meeting this Siberian...
Break it up into two.
We're meeting this Siberian oligarch. That doesn't sound right. We're meeting this Siberian oligarch and...
Way better. You go with that one.
Oligarch. That's fucking silly.
Yeah. Well,
Roman Abramovich is an oligarch.
No, he's definitely not an
oligarch. He's an oligarch.
Exactly.
No, he's not. So his name was Dennis. He owned a,
garage in Clare Morris.
Dennis.
I swear to God.
Dennis what?
His name was Dennis Rubryavshov or something, right?
Dennis, how weird.
I don't know how Evan had found him, right? But he owns about 30 restaurants. He's a private jet. He's restaurants off Red Square. And he's a supremely rich Siberian guy. So that night we were coming out of the hotel. We knew that 1 o'clock that night our bags were packed. We were getting on the Trans-Siberian Express. So Roscoe, as we were waiting outside in the snow and permafrost, it was freezing cold, we were being picked up by Dennis, this Siberian wealthy businessman who was bringing me to one of his exclusive Siberian restaurants. So there's all this sort of intrepidation and was freezing outside and we're getting ready. And Roscoe then, when this lad comes, you've got to turn around to the camera and say, we're going for dinner with Dennis. So so as this car pulls in, it was like an Escalade.
Is that a...
It's like a SsangYong, but it was more like a big SsangYong, blacked out windows, massive Jeep. Guy gets out of the front, two guys get out of the front, driver and thing, all blacked out windows. And they go, Hector, I said, yes. And your man goes, please. Walks me over to the back of the car, opens the door, all blacked out, and I hop in, and there's Dennis sitting there. Welcome to Siberia.
And come here, how did your producer find this fella?
He's a very, very, very famous restaurateur.
Okay.
His restaurants are called Siber, Siber. It was like Siberia, Siberia. They're very famous, as in local produce, local herbs. He's a very, very wealthy businessman through hotels, but especially Siberian restaurants. He's opened up ones in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, because they can't get enough of it.
Wow.
It's like from way, way away. So in we get, speaks perfect English, security in the front with his driver, blacked out windows, camera was all the cameras, a load of cameras in there rigged. So he spoke to me very passionately about growing up with nothing. His parents had nothing. His dad died when he was young. His mother and mum going out and getting food during the 80s in Russia when there was no food, even getting a loaf of bread. And how he's, after that, he said, I swear I'm going to go and I'm going to get my education and I'm going to become a success. And he's very proud of being from Siberia and making his millions there. So we get to the restaurant, and the minute he arrives, the cavalry come out, and it's like VIP, Siberian style. Waitress is taking my jacket, people usher me in. So we are brought into the central part of his restaurant. The restaurant, it looks fantastic. And all around us were vodka bottles. Six or seven rows high of different vodka bottles. Now, we knew we were going on the Trans-Siberian at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he goes, tonight, Hector, you're my guest. I'm going to bring you into the world of Siberian cuisine. Next minute, up he comes with six different vodkas. This waiter comes in, six different vodkas in front of me. Beetroot, horseradish, cabbage, chestnut vodka, blueberry vodka. And he goes, this is what we do before we drink, before we eat the food. Each one of these, we celebrate the traditional plants of Siberia. And I'm there, what? He goes, yes, this is what we do here. So I'm there going, no wine or nothing. So boom. One, what
a shot get? Like?
Shot horseradish. And he goes, now, can you taste the Siberian horseradish? I said, yes. Next minute, beetroot. Boom.
Fuck whatever. Me.
Yeah, straight in. So the food was absolutely beautiful. It was raw. It was Siberian. He was so proud of being from that area. So we had a great night with him and Dennis and the Siberian.
Can you remember what the food was?
Yeah.
The food came out, it was like small little fish dishes, and then it was all...
But it was all raw, was it? Like
no, it was cooked, sorry. But he was so proud that everything he was sourcing was from Siberia. This place where we think that people should be sent to prisoner camps way back in the day. This place where we think...
But it's massive though, isn't it? Siberia?
Siberia is fucking the size of America. Like it's... Like it was five time zones we flew from Moscow to get to Siberia. 7-hour flight into this wilderness. Some parts of Siberia aren't even discovered yet. It's a frozen, amazing, incredible land. And there's Tomsk, there's Krasnoyarsk, and there's Krasnodar. They've invented the Zoviraks. There's 15 universities now in his town, and all the best minds from Moscow, the best young students, want to go to Siberia to study. It's no longer the place where prisoners are sent. It's no longer the place that was the last outpost. It's no longer the place where you're sent to be punished. Siberia is going to rise as one of the great areas of the world.
How though? How is it going to rise?
Because they've got the best minds, they've got the best universities. It's an incredible place for chemistry, for patents, for pharmaceutical stuff, especially for the body. He said, you know the herpes virus? I said, yeah. Zoviraks, he said, invented in my town. So they're coming up with these brilliant medical universities. It's becoming the go-to place in Russia.
And is it an independent country or just like a state?
No,
like
it's a state. It's a state. The Russians, the Moscovites, when you think of where Moscow is geographically, sure, Moscow's only 2 hours from Frankfurt.
Yes.
I mean, I was 10, 12 hours from Frankfurt. Russia is the whole top of the world. And Siberia is that far-flung place. Then Vladivostok, and then you're nearly in Korea. And now, then underneath you're in Mongolia. It's just, yeah, everyone should take out the map and look where it is. And if anyone has ever got the chance to go to Siberia, you should, because it's just an amazing place.
But, and like, I suppose not many people would have an opportunity or need to go to there. Do you know what
no,
I mean?
No, like, but it's if not you like want to, a lot of people do take the Trans-Siberian. The Trans-Siberian Express is 7 days and 7 nights or 9 nights from Moscow to Vladivostok. Doesn't that sound incredible?
Love to do that. I'd love to.
It reminds me of, is the train like the one that you get from Ballina to Manila? Is it like a...
Now you're talking. It's old and it's rickety. So Dennis gave us everything we wanted. Roscoe was salivating behind the counter.
Yes, that'll do.
We get the picture.
And Evan was behind again going, oh, for God's sake. And I was like...
And were you drunk on the vodka?
There was four or five different rounds of vodka coming through. But it was lovely. Do you know why?
Just small
drops. Do you know why? Little small shot.
Cold.
Wow, that's credible. He says, do you feel the Siberian, do you taste the Siberian chestnut?
But that poutine you brought us in from Connemara that day, that was one of the nicest poutine I've ever tasted in my life. And that would have been made from ingredients from around the area.
Yes.
So I can totally get that.
And there were small little shots. And he goes, once we had a shot, you don't go into the other ones. He discusses, you chat, you converse. Mm. 20 minutes later, you have another little shot. Now, this is made from a Siberian horseradish. The taste of my, have a taste this. Boom, intense flavours. And you were getting giddy. You weren't getting drunk. You were just feeling nice. Food was incredible. Finally, we wrapped up with Dennis. And I've got photos of this. We were surrounded by vodka. And he goes, tonight, you take the train, Trans-Siberian? I said, yes. In comes your man again, the waiter, and he goes, get these guys whatever they need as supplies for the train. I said,
wow.
What do you mean? I said, he said, whatever you need. Do you need food, takeaway food? Do you need drink? How many hours? I said, 42. He said, get them whatever vodka they want. Roscoe's eyes lit up. Because we were going, because we had
no film,
we had bought cheese. We went into a small little grocery store that afternoon in Siberia.
Crackers.
And it's not as if you're walking into Tesco's.
Yeah.
You're walking into a small little tiny Russian shop and we're looking at stuff like noodles. And Roscoe's found Pringles. We brought about 10 boxes of Pringles. We brought cheese. We brought some sort of salami. We had bought two bottles of wine. We had brought...
You'd be destroyed after that.
We 42 crouch. Hours. We brought loads of Siberian beer, warm beer.
Oh.
We iced our water. Roscoe said, what do you want water for? Drink, drink. We'll drink till we sleep on it. I said, 42 hours, Roscoe.
Oh,
so we were all
yuck.
Trying. And we came out of this little gross. We were at 7 bags of shopping for our little cubicle on the train. Little did we know, a couple of hours later in one of the top restaurants in Siberia, that the guy was going, get these guys whatever they want.
What was the train journey like?
So before we left Siberia, the restaurant... Roscoe, your mum goes, bring these vodka out so the boys could taste it. So we all started getting vodka because we knew we were going to have a long journey and we weren't sleeping tonight. Getting on a train at 1 a.m. The adrenaline with all the equipment. So, and then I said, Dennis, could I get a bottle of vodka? You can get whatever you want. I said, see that raspberry one there? Have you got get a bottle of raspberry for these boys. And what else? Get the chestnut. So we brought about 5 big bottles of vodka onto the train with us. Dennis dropped us in the Sangyong, the blacked out Sangyong, to the train station. It was like something you'd see in a movie from the 60s. It was freezing cold. There was ice everywhere, snow drifts as the train came into the station. And you could... There were Mongolian guys there. It looked like there was Uzbekistan UFC fighters. It was freezing cold. It was 1:15 a.m. I'm half tippled now with the vodka. We've got 15 flight cases, 15 bags, and they're all packed there at the platform at the side of the station.
Now tell me this, then, getting on the train, because yes. you're the star of the show. You don't lift any bags, do you?
We fill them first, as in my
vodka
bag.
He
we fill them good, and I did the piece. Yeah, Tommy Chun Shaw, Tosha Karakon the Hain Armajan, Tommy Shaw in Lower Siberia, August Wai Shaw, if I dotted a dough, by Misha Edul Eran Trans Siberian Express. Feki Mishiv Eran Tivelaga Siberia. Nerves Major Bjornach in Aka Mongolia. So get the bag on. Right, cut. And next minute it's all hell. Bag on. Bag okay. on. Bag on. Sweating.
But you're lying. You're not helping the bags.
Oh, no, we all help. We all
what?
Because the three of us have travelled the
world. Ah, come
no,
on.
No, Tommy.
You can't be.
You're
the star of the show. You can't be lifting bags.
Fucking tripod in. Roscoe, quick, get that in because all we want is. Don't break the vodka. Don't break the vodka bottles. Not at all. Who's got the groceries? So, Evan.
If you were Tommy now, you'd be within in first class.
Unfortunately, when we got onto it now, it's like going back in time. The first thing that hits you is this immense wave of heat.
Oh.
And then you realise that the train is packed with
Jesus
people of all spices and colours and sweats. And the little tiny cubicles are tiny. And we had ordered 2 sleeping quarters. Sleeping quarters. Like, as you walk up the side, there's not space for 2 people to walk by.
You have to wait. One of them is a spy and you get fucking stabbed. I've seen them films.
With the pencils.
So yes. There's no space. You have to step it and then up along the side.
Blue.
So We get all the bags in. So
we've booked two sleeper cabins.
The best word I learned was how's it going in Russian? Kogzhila. So Evan, unfortunately, the poor bastard, there wasn't enough
don't
space.
Tell me he got diarrhea.
There wasn't enough space for him because what he booked. So he said, lads, I'll be all right. I'll be in the one next to you. The one next to him had a couple of military boys. they look like these fucking, do you know your man?
Assassins.
Do you know by Khabib that bet the head of McGregor? Yeah. Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was the son of another oligarch. And he was in, and as Evan walked into the place, the two boys were like sitting there in their singlets and no fucking a pair of shorts on them and flip-flops. And they were like this. Oh, and they didn't speak a word of fucking English. And he had to get up on a bunk above them. And we were like, oh, they're going to kill you. They're going to fucking kill you. And they didn't even move, the boys.
He had to crawl up over them.
And then, sorry about this, lads. And he tried to get his big fucking 6-month travel bag up on top of them. And he says, can I step on your bed? Your mum was like, oh. And they looked at him like, they didn't speak a word of English, right? He had to stay. He had 40.
He was up in the bed for 40 hours.
Afraid to go to the toilet.
He was fucking shitting himself, the two boys in their singlets and flip-flops in the heat. And they're like, oh, shalala. And your man from Mambelio coming in, how are you, boys?
They'd be fucking effing, like.
And then he managed to get in. I was there, right? I'm getting out of here quick. And then we went up two doors and we had our own little. We put all the Pringles and all the cheese and all the salami and all the ham and all the bread. And then Roscoe, don't break the vodka. 4 bottles of fucking vodka on the table. I had a little bed here. And then we pulled the 2 beds that are above us and we put flight cases and bags and tripods and cameras up above us, up to the ceiling. The fucking heat then, we were stripping off. So anyway, 42 hours on the train. All I can describe to you is when you looked out the window, there was nothing. Vastness and white and snow and trees and nothing. And no lights, no people, no roads, no nothing.
Was there a place for you to sit down and have a coffee and look out the window?
No, so we started drinking.
And write a poem or something. Yeah. So
what we did
Late
was...
guy, the finish free.
We didn't have any... Evan had to come in to us because we couldn't. He says,
was he all right?
Your man just sat there for 42 hours like this. Half Mongolian, half Russian. He's like that. Evan had to come in and out to us. So I said, lads, there's only one thing to do. Roscoe's like, there's only one thing to do, lads. 42 hours. Let's get steamboats and we'll sleep for a few hours. Oh, the vodka. The strawberry vodka.
Did it blow the brains out of
you? It was fantastic. And then we had our cans and then we started we got a little bit adventurous. So we went down to the little eating cabin.
Uh-oh.
And there was a lovely little Russian lady down there. And she in behind, like the CIE, like that, you're taking that.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And she in behind.
Selling sandwiches.
And we were there, hello, kogzhila. And she's like, we were there, beer? Because we drunk the vodka at this stage. This is like 6 hours into it, still 5 o'clock in the morning. And we're in the middle of nowhere on the Trans-Siberian Express. And we saw then in her little fridge, she had about 30 small cans of Russian beer. And we just sat. Bought the whole lot. After a while, we were making towers of cans and stuff. As we looked out, saw nothing.
Were there many people on the train?
Packed with people in transit. Imagine a cousin.
It sounds just
imagine a cousin from Moscow going to see a cousin there. Okay. It was just that. It sounds like
it's going
like,
to Dublin from
it sounds like what it was like was a rural Irish train journey
in the 90s.
Or even before that. And then we drank the place dry, and we went back to the cabins and we slept. And we got drunk 3 times in the 42 hours.
Did you have a hangover?
Hangover. The second time then, Evan found out that if you paid $1 or $2 US dollars, they would give you a token to go down to a shower, which is about 19 carriages off. And it was just a basic primitive shower where you could wash yourself.
Evan
just needed to get out of the place where your mum was just sitting there. So, at one stage, the lady who served us the beer about 15 hours later, as we woke one of the mornings,
She woke us up and we get out. Oh, call a cafe, tea, oh, Asia. She's like knocking on doors. And I said, Roscoe, tea, coffee, Roscoe's. It was like Pringles and ham everywhere, and there was vodka bottles. It was like the stench of sweat. We were in our clothes, and she goes, why, tea, coffee, so we are, yes. And she came in, and I remember she went up to Roscoe and she rubbed his head because he looked rough. And she goes, oh, like she knew he'd hang over. She just rubbed his forehead. Tea, coffee? I say, yes, yeah. And didn't she have the loveliest homemade sausage rolls I've ever tasted.
Oh, brilliant.
And she put down a selection of sausage rolls and two cups of tea beside us. And she laughing because she knew we had drunk so much.
Yeah.
Finally, we got near the Mongolian border and we got off the Trans-Siberian Express. But we passed Lake Baikal, which was one of the world's biggest lakes. The lake went on for 6 hours as we journeyed by it. It's one of the most amazing wonders of the world, Lake Baikal. And it's in the middle of Siberia. And that was, we were just all the way dribbling by it for about 7 hours. And as you could see, as the day broke, you can just see water. It's just like a sea, but it was a lake for 7 hours.
Jesus,
finally,
we
got to Mongolia. But the beautiful thing was, you stop at these small stations during the 42 hours and you'd just be, just Roscoe would get out for a cigarette and we'd just hop off the train in this winter frozen paradise for a couple of minutes in the freezing cold and just get back on again. And we got to Mongolia and it was probably one of the most amazing things we've ever done. But we'll never forget Dennis in Sibir in his restaurant going, yes, you like vodka.
Timmy, was there a first class carriage on the train?
Not to my knowledge.
So if people are doing a holiday thing of wanting to do the Trans-Siberian Express.
What would they do that for?
No, fantastic. It's just one of the one of those experiences.
But there must be a posh version of it. There must be.
I don't know the Trans-Siberian, and I know since I've come back from Siberia 2 or 3 years ago, there's been so many Irish people that have pushed that boat out and who are looking for that alternative bit of travel that have gone all the way to Vladivostok.
Mm.
But your man Dennis was so convinced that Siberia is going to open up as technology and a global hub that links Moscow to the middle of Siberia and then links Japan and China. He said that this place is going to explode in years to come and that it's going to become the link between Europe and that European Russia and then Siberia, that those cities, Krasnoyarsk, Krasnodar, and then the cosmopolitan world of Asia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Bangkok, because all those cities are, and China, they're just super cities. But imagine going the whole way along to Vladivostok.
Wow. I know I think you can do the Oriental Express from London to Istanbul and back.
Yes.
And it takes 2 weeks. And it's, myself and my wife did it for our honeymoon. We did Paris to Venice.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a little overnight thing. And it was a bit cool. But I would love to do something with the Trans-Siberian. I'd love trains.
Imagine getting on the train in Moscow and knowing you're going to be on it for 5 days and five nights.
It takes that long to go on the train from Mayo to Dublin. Like, if you've done that train journey, you've no aspirations to do other ones. Oh.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the THL podcast. Mind yourselves out there. Stay safe, Tommy. Get away. Stay away from the stairs.
Yeah.
No stairs for Tom.
Everyone, be careful on the stairs.
They've sectioned it. They've blocked it all off with red and white tape now.
Yeah.
But you know what happens as you get older? You do get it. It doesn't affect just your body. It affects your mind.
Yeah. You feel you've lost your confidence now.
Yeah.
Tommy.
I'm just like a low lad, just kind of walking around.
You realise now,
and have a limp like my uncle.
Yeah, that might never come back. You know, you might never walk straight again.
I fucking hope it doesn't. I really do.
Would you like to have a limp?
Oh,
and you have a pipe.
But do you remember my left arm stopped working about a year ago?
Yeah,
and now my left leg is going to stop working.
Jesus, maybe I had a stroke or something.
I know it was definitely. I definitely fell down the stairs. But I just think that I would love if my left leg just stopped altogether.
And you just dragged it along? No, Tommy, that's bad. So people have that problem, and it's not nice.
Yeah, but I'm falling down the stairs wasn't nice either, Louisa. I'm just trying to make the best out of a bad lot. But I'm saying maybe in the years to come I'd be lucky enough to fall down and on my right leg and then my right arm and I'll have four useless limbs and I won't be able to get out of the bed.
I think the motto,
silence.
The motto of the story is please be careful out there, especially when you're heading to the first step, whether it's down the stairs or up the stairs. Mind yourselves on the stairs. Mind the stairs.
Mind the gap.
Have you ever fallen down the stairs?
No, but I know what it's like when you miss a step.
I fell upstairs once.
You fell up? How do you fall upstairs?
Oh, up a stairs.
I fell like upstairs.
Face first up. Bang.
Yeah, I was... I think it's hereditary, isn't it, falling upstairs? But I went...
Are they a breed of cattle?
Yeah. I was going out one night, walked up the stairs, hadn't even had a drink, got to the second last stair. That's the damage, Tommy. That's where you fell down. As I was going up, next thing, I turned around to talk to someone behind me and I missed the last step. Fell down, put my hand out to stop me and broke my little finger. And you
what's
see
what's
going
to happen now is loads of people around the country are going to talk to us about their stair stories. I only took the baby, you know, the baby stairs things that you block the kids for. Do you know those things you put on the bottom?
Gate.
The gate.
Yeah.
I only took the gate off when the boys were 14.
Well, Tommy should have left his on.
Tommy's going to have to put up the children's gate at the top.
Maybe we should do that before we leave.
Or Dad's out. Or is Dad out of his room? Yeah. Close the gate at the top of the stairs.
And you can never open those bloody doors either.
Mind your father. Mind your... Where's Dad? He's having a panic attack on the stairs. I can't go up and I can't go down.
I'm getting you a walking frame.
No, seriously.
I'd love a walking stick. I'd love one of them old wooden ones that has a bit of...
Sure, haven't you got one there?
Yeah, like, one there. You need a bend in it, like St. Patrick.
Yeah, I do. I need a stick with a rubber bit at the bottom. I'd love that.
Oh, yeah, I'll get you one of them.
Will you get me a proper one of them, like a proper walking stick?
It was had one previous owner, but...
Did anyone get the fall
on
camera?
But she's dead now, so...
Hang on, do you want to give me a dead woman's stick?
Yeah, well...
Where's the stick?
It's in my garage.
And is it... It has a crook at the top of it, does it? Like a
handle.
A handle. And is it...
Is this the woman that used to own the house?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's there a while now.
And what colour is
Sarah
it?
There a while now.
It's there a while now.
What colour is the stick?
I think it's black.
A black stick? Where did she get it? Like in a shop or in a hospital?
Yeah, in a shop. Well, do you want like a crutch stick? Would you prefer like one that you can make longer and bigger, you know, like, or longer and smaller, you know, you can adjust
the crutches with a little bit of
padding. No, I want a stick like an owl to have, like he'd lean on it and with a
and
crook
you,
on it.
I think you need to consider wearing rubber soled shoes as well, Tommy.
Why is that not for electricity, is it?
No, it's just safer.
Safer, Tom.
Safer. For when you're old, people wear rubber soled shoes. I might have a pair of them in the shed as well. Do you want me to bring them up for you?
Are they special needs shoes? Or?
No, they're just a dead people's shoes. They wore them when they were alive, but they're there now.
Are they all in your garage?
Yeah, would you like them, Tommy? Would you like a shoes and a stick?
No, I would definitely
And
like
I have
a stick.
One of those things as well that you put on the outside of the toilet that it helps you get up and sit down. It's like a little frame.
I fucking do with that. I tell you, it's hard getting up off the jacks now.
Yeah, especially with your bad ribs.
Yeah, but it's because
your age.
The quad
age.
Is the one you push off from.
Yeah,
I can't push off.
I'll bring up that too.
It'll take a while for the quads to get back to normal, Tom.
I hope they never get back to
the
normal.
The quads got some pummeling.
I would hope as well maybe to get one of them doors for the bath.
Oh yeah, the swinging doors.
Yeah.
You'd need one of the baths that have to be elevated.
You'll have to be helped into the bath.
I think we should just put you
laugh. It hurts me to know.
We'll be watching them on the show on Saturday night and he'll be like, I can't move my leg.
They'll have him put in a special chair.
It's hard to listen when you're in pain.
Do you know what? It's harder to go to the toilet when you've hurt your ribs. I broke my ribs once and going to the toilet
was
a...
You can't even flush the toilet with the pain.
You couldn't push.
Can't cough.
Yeah, you can't push.
You can't even cough.
You can't get up or down.
Tommy, you got an awful rattle. Can we just tell people,
mind
yourselves out there on stairs. Seriously.
I'll fill the boot next week with dead people's equipment.
Irish people aren't used to stairs. We lived for thousands of years with no stairs.
I lived in a bungalow all my life. I never knew stairs till I was 20. I didn't go up a stairs till I was 29.
I'm a bungalow person. I don't like stairs.
That's another thing the bastard English fucking brought over with them.
Stairs.
Just trick Irish
and
people.
And bends in the stairs.
And you'd never be able to get a chairlift on them stairs, you know, because it's bendy.
What I do is I take that fucking stairs out, Tommy.
And put a slide down.
No, you should have put a landing area halfway down where you twist, a twist and then back down. But you went the full 180 degrees round the bottom.
Yeah.
An awful land.
I'm an awful stairs. Anyway.
Stay safe on the stairs.
Stay safe. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Larita here. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget, we're launching a bonus THL episode every Monday from April 12th. This means that while the Thursday THL podcast will remain free for everyone, the bonus episode will be a subscriber-only exclusive on Acast Plus. To find out how to subscribe for the bonus exclusive episode, head over to our website, thlpod.com, click on the tier you want to sign up to, and start every Monday off with a laugh from April 12th.